Let's bring the court to order. Is there anyone that would like to volunteer for our opening prayer this morning? Any volunteers? I'll be glad to say the prayer this morning. You will join me, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the many blessings that you give us each and every day. We ask, Lord, that you'd keep your hand on us and guide us through the trials and tribulations of a world that can be very tough and cruel. We ask you, Lord, to watch over those young men and women that are overseas and those that are here, protecting the freedoms that you have so graciously given this great country. We ask, Lord, that this court would take actions that would be according to your will. We ask that each and every person that's here today, as they travel, get home safely. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
You join me in our pledges.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor and respect, I pledge allegiance to the state of Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Okay. Let the record reflect that all members of court are present, with the exception of Commissioner Nowak again. Commissioners, we need approval on our Commissioner's Court agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Proclamations and resolutions. Montgomery County Employee Committee Scholarship Presentation. Morning, Lori.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners. We have one more scholarship to present for this year. We are presenting a $1,000 scholarship to Natalie Garza. She is the daughter of Dana Cook. She's collection manager with the tax office. Natalie is going to be attending college with Texas A&M University. I started to pause for the moment, but I thought, well, somebody will do it. Pursuing her degree in chemical engineering, because of her love of math and science, Natalie took many AP classes to prepare for college and was first in her graduating class. Natalie has been involved in many community activities, including being a science fair judge, being on the Montgomery County Historical Commission Youth Advisory Board, and volunteering for Habitat for Humanity, just to name a few. We are very pleased to award Natalie with this scholarship and wish her the best in her studies. Please join me in congratulating Natalie. Thank you, guys.
Well, congratulations. Thank you, Lori. Next, we have the Texas AgriLife Extension Report on Montgomery County Walk Across the Community's Challenge. Good morning.
Anybody here was in Walk Across Texas? If you would come forward, please. So good morning, gentlemen. We are very happy to be back here to share with you the results of our Walk Across Texas Community Challenge. I'd like for you to imagine Montgomery County as a healthy community, one that thrives on maintaining opportunities for all residents to make healthy choices wherever they go. So we would see people out walking on a regular basis. We have healthy food choices readily available and an environment and a culture where people really want to be healthy, where obesity and overweight no longer threaten the well-being of our community. Well, we have just taken one big step, and 230,852 miles forward to get closer to that goal with our most recent Walk Across Texas effort. So in May and April and May, we had 1,055 people who participated in Montgomery County in our Walk Across Texas Challenge. We had 149 teams. And by creating healthy habits, this involvement in the Walk Across Texas has a potential economic impact of $7,947,183 in savings from delaying the onset of type 2 diabetes and prevention of work absences because we have a healthier community. We had a 68% retention rate, and that means 68% of the people who actually started walking in the project continued to participate during the entire 8 weeks. We had 133 teams that actually followed through with entering and participation, and 221 of our participants actually made significant improvements. And our most improved participant was Gloria Crump, and she had like a 7,000% increase because she started out with less than a mile the first week, but got up to 20 miles by week 8. So that's really what this project is all about, just getting people to be more active and doing more things. So Gloria is a great example of starting out small but making significant changes. Our highest ranking team was actually the Darksiders, led by Melissa McNeil. And she's here. We've got prizes for her team. They had 6,217 miles together as a team of eight. And I'm going to have them all introduce themselves in just a moment. And Melissa, if you can share a little bit with us about how your team did that, that would be awesome. So before we do that, I wanted to give you a few interesting facts about our participants. Out of all of the 1,055 participants, 65% were younger than 45. 24% were between the ages of 45 and 60, and a good 10% were actually over the age of 60, the average age being 37.43 years. 80% of our participants were female, and another 20% were males. I want to give you a couple of other information about our participation. Montgomery County employees, we had 119 participants, and that economic impact for Montgomery County employees is $1.7 million. Montgomery ISD was a big part of participating this year, and one of our newer participants, hadn't done it in the past but did this time, 110% participants, and their economic impact equaled about $1.8 million. Lone Star Family Health Center had 35 participants with $284,000 in economic impact. United Way had 33 participants, which equaled $236,000. Better Bookkeepers actually had 16 participants, $212,000. And the Woodlands Township also participated this year, and they had 10 participants, equaling $144,000 in economic impact. So without further ado, I'd like to recognize the participants that are here, ask them to introduce themselves and tell you their team names, because we've got some really creative people here who have great team names.
Dana Cook, I work at the tax office. Our team name was the DMV Divas.
Lori Stafford in the engineering office, we were the walkie-talkies.
Francine Nichols, our team name was Babs from New York to Texas.
Jen Weigel from the library, I was on the Darksiders team.
Melissa McNeil with the library, I was the team manager for the Darksiders team.
I'm Jerry Williams, and I was on the Page Walkers team.
Oh, I was with our Extension AgriLife, Texas A&M.
Yeah, we're the AgriLife Adventurers.
Michelle Skase, I was on that team as well.
Jody Schreier, United Way.
Josh Merritt with the AgriLife Adventurers.
Sydney Dover, United Way.
And Sydney's our new intern with United Way. So I'd like to say that this would not be possible without the partnership that we have with United Way's Healthy Living Alliance. And so I'd like to say a huge thank you to them for supporting it. And then also a thank you to you for your commitment and support to help make Montgomery County a healthier place. And we appreciate your encouragement. Look forward to seeing you on the walking trails. Thank you.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Thanks.
All right, moving on to item number 8A. Consider and approve Commissioner's Court minutes from the special session dated June 3rd, 2016 is submitted.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. And consider and approve the Commissioner's Court minutes from our regular session dated June 14th is submitted.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. Commissioners, I have no changes under consent, and if there's no changes any of you have, I would entertain a motion to approve our consent agenda.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now we're at our citizens portion of the agenda, and this is for citizens that would like to make a comment on an item that is on today's agenda. So if you have a comment about something that is on today's agenda, let me read the following statement. We will now invite public comment on items that are on today's agenda. Please state your name and topic of your comment before beginning your remarks, and public comment may not exceed 3 minutes. Questions or concerns about the operations of Montgomery County programs may be referred to the department heads or elected officials, and the Texas Open Meetings Law prevents the court from deliberating or taking action on matters raised in public comment. So if there's anyone that would like to address the court today on an item that is on today's agenda, now would be the time to do that. I do have two people signed up to speak, but not on items on today's agenda. All right, seeing none, we'll move forward. Item 11A, consider and discuss and take appropriate action on an engagement letter for bond counsel with Oric, Harrington, and Sutcliffe LLP in Montgomery County Post Issuance Compliance Written Procedures.
Move.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you, Commissioners. Item B, consider, discuss, and take appropriate action on a resolution approving the issuance of bonds to finance and refinance certain projects for the Chi St. Luke's Health System. We have a motion.
Move. What is this?
Commissioner, this is one of those where they have to present this to us. It doesn't obligate us to do anything. It's just an item. Amy, is it just a kind of reporting item more than anything that we have to?
Approval.
Yeah, just requires court approval. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Justice of the Peace Precinct 4. Judge Metz. Glad to have you with us this morning.
All right, gentlemen. In light of the recent events that happened to Sheriff about 2 weeks ago, where it appears that there was a breakdown in communication, not at the court level, but at a department head level, and having received an email from the purchasing department in regards to our GHS contract, and along with NetData, the software providers for 4 of the JPs out of the 5, I got a little bit nervous. And wanting to know in regards that somewhere along the lines it was coming up for a renewal, and wanting to know if we were going to stick with the folks that we had or if we were going to go with Tyler Technologies. Now, this is about the 3rd time I've been here and about the 5th time overall. So let me be clear to anybody in earshot that I don't want anything to do with Tyler Technologies. It's nothing more than a pit to pour money into. And I didn't want nothing to do with it 5 years ago. I don't want anything to do with it today. And I'm not going to use it in the future, nor are the other 4 of the 5 JPs. Now, the only one using the Tyler Technology software program is Judge Connolly in the Woodlands. Not picking on Judge Connolly is just a fact. She chose a Tyler software program at a cost of $350,000. Would you care to know what the net data and GHS cost you, the taxpayers of Montgomery County?
Yes, I would.
Zero. Didn't cost you a dime. And it's satisfactory. We're pleased with it. And listen to this. To date, GHS, the number one collection agency in the state of Texas for JPs, has collected fine fees and dues owing to the taxpayers of Montgomery County $3.5 million net, give or take a little bit either way. Didn't cost you a dime. And I never faced so much opposition and disregard for trying to do something good for the county that I love. And it didn't cost anything. You know, come to think of it, kind of like some of you fellows are facing today. You're being persecuted for what I feel was something good. Thank you for getting the road bond so it could be voted up or down by the folks to get us some better roads to help with the terrible congestion to where our good sheriff and his people and Constable Hayden and his guys back there
get to
an accident scene faster, or get to a family violence where somebody may lose their life, or EMS or paramedics. And then for the courier and others to bring, I don't know if she's here today or not, right there, our good treasurer, Stephanie Davenport, to drag her into this mess, who has served with honor and integrity while battling an illness and did it with a smile on her face. Thank you, Stephanie. Appreciate you. And then if that's not enough, Sunday won't attack some of us for the salaries that we make. I've never asked you gentlemen for a raise, I remember. Certainly didn't last year, and I'm going to ask you one for this year. But I was grateful to you for you giving me one. And if you give me one this year where there's zero, if you don't give me one, I'm not going to be upset about it. But if you give me one for 10%, I'm going to be delighted. I don't particularly care what's going on in another county. They can deal with their own stuff over there. I don't care if I'm number two or number one. It doesn't matter. But I earn my money. I do my job. And if you don't think so, then you should have been with Constable Hayden and Brett Ligon and Judge Mack when we were down there about 10 days ago dealing with this accident where Sergeant Bumgartner lost his life along with Little Aiden Hilario because of the criminal conduct of someone else. It was a very difficult situation. And trying to determine the cause and manner of death that happened there, along with consoling people that have just lost loved ones, their hearts are torn out, others in the hospital with bodies broken and bones. It's tough. Or another one comes to mind of a beautiful little three-year-old girl in East County, an apartment complex that was beat to death by a fellow that stood 6'4" and weighed over 200 pounds simply because the child was crying for her mother. She didn't feel good and wanted her mother, and her mother's next door partying when she should have been over attending to that child. That fella hit that baby so hard in the stomach that it tore her liver in two. And she bled to death right there all the while crying for her mother. I don't want you pity or nothing else, but I don't want you criticism about what I get paid for doing my job, because I earn it. And I feel like the sheriff earns his and Constable Hayden earns his and his team. It's a difficult job, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? We all consider it an honor and a privilege to get to do it. Sometimes I wonder if we're right. We like getting kicked around, I guess, because we keep doing it and we feel like it's a pleasure to do it. And I don't think it's fair. I don't pick on a lot of people. You people don't see me over here much. I try to stay over in East County and do my job and serve with honor and integrity as well. And it's unfortunate that you're having a difficult day because a few people are dissatisfied. People approve the road bond overwhelmingly. I certainly voted for it. The sheriff did, Constable Hayden and others. And I appreciate it.
Judge, we appreciate
you can never,
that.
You'll never be a winner by being a sore loser. And I want you gentlemen to know that you stand tall in my eyes. Well, most of you. And he's not here. Thank you, gentlemen.
Judge.
God bless you. I appreciate you. Appreciate your time. Have a
Thank
good
you for your comments, Judge.
Thank you.
Judge, we don't need any action on this one. I think purchasing is going to bring the renewal contract back.
Contract will be renewed.
According to her, that's all in order. And if it is, I'm taking your word that that's all okay. And if it
I think purchasing, fine. I think Darlew purchasing is bringing that back.
Okay.
Correct.
Good deal. Thank you, Judge.
Thank you.
No. Can I say that again?
There's somebody bringing it back up?
For renewal.
To continue on.
Well, if you're going to do that, then let's make it 3 years instead of doing it every year. Consider that.
Is it already for 2 years, Amy, right now?
Do we have to do it 1 year at a time, Amy?
Right now, is my understanding, it comes up for renewal. It's automatically renewed every year without opposition. And I think I'm clear that the four JPs out of the five don't want anything to do with Tyler. So if I need to go back that over again, for somebody that didn't get it, I'll get the Crayola back.
I've talked to Judge Mazes. He feels the same.
We got it.
Okay. Is that on this agenda today, later?
It isn't on the agenda. It will come up later. It will come back.
Okay.
Can we check and see if we have to do it every year or not?
We will. I will
look. Okay. All right. Thank you, Judge. Moving on, emergency management. Miranda.
Good morning, Judge and Commissioners.
June was kind of a slow month for y'all, wasn't it?
We had a couple days where we weren't in an emergency state, so yeah, it felt like we were like, what are we going to do? We have a couple of items. Item A, discuss, consider, and approve giving Deputy Emergency Management Coordinator Darren Hess the authority to pursue any and all paperwork in order to apply for FEMA public assistance for the April severe weather event, DR4269, and authorize Judge Doyle to sign any documents related to the same. Furthermore, please name a funding source for any expenses that are deemed ineligible for reimbursement and or require matching funds. Of course, we'll go through insurance first, and then anything that's not covered by insurance will go through FEMA, and then anything that doesn't get covered by those two, then we would need a funding source for those items.
Can we do A and B at the same time?
Yes.
Both same?
B is also the same. Consider and approve Deputy Emergency Management Coordinator Darren Hess authority to pursue any and all paperwork in order to apply for FEMA public assistance for the May severe weather event 4272. Authorize Judge Doyle to sign the documents related to the same. And again, name a funding source on any.
And Judge, if y'all could do these separately, it does facilitate the FEMA processing at a later date. So if you made these two separate motion numbers, we would appreciate that.
Okay, that's fine. We have a motion on item A.
Move.
Second.
Motion and a second. Any questions or comments? We need to name a funding source. I would assume that would be through our contingency for now.
So in the past, whenever we've had these disasters, y'all named contingency to the extent it was available and then fund balance. So if y'all would name that same, that would help.
What might be deemed ineligible? What might that be?
Traditionally, FEMA will disqualify certain costs that we have filed for. Sometimes it's even if different FEMA representatives have told us at the time of the disaster that they might be eligible. It depends on the auditor at a later date. They've changed dramatically depending on the FEMA auditor.
During Hurricane Ike, I think we were like 98% reimbursed. Was most of it.
So something that we think we should be reimbursed for, they may disagree.
So it's not uncommon when there's a disaster for FEMA to hire a high number of temporary employees to come in and help with the process going on here. Later, whenever they do an audit, it's an independent audit firm. It's not even necessarily an employee of FEMA. So there's sometimes great disparity between what some think should be eligible and what others think should be eligible. So we file for the things that we're informed would be eligible. Later, they might be deemed ineligible.
Okay, so do you amend that motion to include contingency with fund balance as a backup?
Yes, I amend my motion to include contingency or fund balance.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Item C.
Just to ask, consider, and approve the...
That was A. We have a motion on B.
I move on B, same funding source.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Now, item C.
Please discuss, consider, and approve the purchase of an emergency portable generator connection for the Montgomery County Courthouse. Furthermore, please name a funding source to cover the cost of the generator parts and labor not to exceed $11,000.
Second.
Motion. Do we have any questions or comments?
Oh, I thought you said name a funding source. Would it?
Do you have funding available for that project?
No, they were asking for a funding source to be named. It's a backup to the current
contingency.
Yeah.
I amend the motion.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item D, discuss, consider, and approve enacting the HGAC contract with Tetra Tech to begin conducting substantial damage assessments on residential properties flooded during the 2016 flood disasters. Please approve a contract not to exceed $150,000 and name a funding source.
I thought this wasn't going to cost us anything to do these buyouts.
So this is different than the buyout. This is inspection and damage assessments on the homes that fall within the floodplain and the floodway. And my understanding is we're required by law to do these.
Do we have a grant application on file to cover these costs as well?
I'm unsure. John is here from Tetra to answer any questions on that.
Moving.
Yeah, we have a motion on this one.
I move.
Second.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
Okay. The previous application for flood mitigation assistance program that was for the acquisition demolition projects, that was something previously brought to the court, and that application has been submitted to FEMA. This is required by the county's floodplain ordinance to conduct assessments for those homes that are damaged in the floodplain or the floodway, as Ms. Hansen...
For a buyout?
No, not for a buyout. This is just a requirement that the county perform these substantial damage.
Well, why aren't we doing this? If it's not for the buyout, I don't understand.
Exceed a certain threshold to get FEMA reimbursement.
It's based on the county's adopted floodplain ordinance.
Mr. Mike, add something to that. We've had some discussions with Mark Mooney and others, and under our participation in the National Flood Insurance Program, certain kind of benchmarks we have to meet and enforcement of those. And after a flood event and discussions, we consider that we do need to make an assessment and not rely upon self-reporting, but we have to go by making an assessment of flood damage property in order to comply with the floodplain manager's accountability.
Will that make us eligible for FEMA reimbursement if we get those assessments?
I think it has two purposes. One is to comply with the National Flood Insurance Program, our participation in that, as well as lay groundwork for any reimbursement.
That's correct.
If we deem these properties substantially damaged, does that obligate us to anything?
No. No, it imposes basically restrictions on whether they can repair the flood damage without elevating their property. They would have to comply with floodplain regulations and either elevate the property or they would not be able to repair the flood damage that occurred if they are substantially damaged.
I get it.
If they're not substantially damaged, they are free to repair the flood damage to the property.
Okay. Funding source?
Contingency, yeah.
With fund balances and backup?
Yeah. Okay.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you.
Okay, Constable Precinct 4, Constable Hayden.
Good morning, Judge, Commissioners.
Morning.
Morning.
Item 14A, consider and authorize Chief Deputy Welch to execute the agreement between East Montgomery County Improvement District and the Constable's Office for the purchase of 2 mobile traffic sensors. Accept community development grant funding in the amount of $11,513.27, with the Precinct 4 Constable's Office and the Commissioner's Office providing the additional 33% match. This was approved in Commissioner's Court in March 2016. Proceeds to be placed in 5541273395, and Judge Metz is in support of this program as well.
I move.
Second.
Thank you.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you, Constable. Conroe North Houston Regional Airport, Mr. Smith.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
Good morning. Item 15A, consider and approve the proposal from Burdett Consultants, LLC for Landscape Architecture Design and Construction Administration Services related to the new airport entrance project in the amount of $14,065. Please name a funding source. We do have some airport funds available in our 7598 capital account that had been approved by you for the wash pad project. And that project has been delayed and hasn't been done, and we could use funds out of that and come back at a later time to readdress the wash pad if that's an option for you.
Let's do that. We have the money for the project. We just don't have the money for the flowers and entrance and monuments and whatever we're going to do there. But it'll be a really nice looking entrance into the airport. And I move.
Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you,
Scott.
Purchasing.
Morning, Judge and Commissioners.
Morning.
16A, take all appropriate action to approve the contract for a private contract defender for indigent defense, juvenile defense, previously approved June 14, 2016, to William L. Petrillo III. This is a term contract for a total of 6 years at $200,000 per year starting 10-1-2016. The current contract is $175,000 with no increases for the last 6 years.
Move.
Questions or comments?
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Item B, take all appropriate action to approve a discretionary exemption for an item necessary because of an unforeseen damage to public property as authorized by Local Government Code 262.024A3 for emergency repairs. Four, as stated on the agenda, and please take on one motion.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. Item C.
C, as authorized by Local Government Code 271.102, take all appropriate action to approve the purchase of one Gradall truck-mounted excavator with options through the interlocal agreement with HTAC from Associate Supply Company, Inc., in the amount of $328,357.68 for Precinct 2.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
D, take all appropriate action to approve a discretionary exemption for professional service as authorized by Local Government Code 262.024A4. Four, as stated on the agenda, and please take us one motion.
Move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
E, take all appropriate action to approve the award and contract for the RFP office supplies and miscellaneous accessories with the online ordering capabilities to High Touch Business Services, DBA, My Office Products. And this is a term contract.
Move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Arlene. County Attorney.
Consider and adopt an outdoor advertising policy as used by the Texas Department of Transportation to determine just compensation for outdoor advertising improvements in eminent domain proceedings.
Second.
Any questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion
Thank
carries.
You.
Now I need to recess our Commissioner's Court and convene public hearings in Precincts 2 to start with.
Consider approved partial revision of parts of lots 2, 3, and 4 of Holly Acres to be known as Pinehurst DTB Edition. Is anyone here to discuss this?
Yes, sir. We have one here.
I'm here to represent the owners of the property, if there's any questions.
Okay.
That's good.
Properly noted.
Okay. Two, consider and approve order abandoning county road right-of-way known as Kirkendall Court. Anybody here to discuss that?
Commissioner, I had a conversation prior to court with a gentleman. I told him who could not be here. I did tell him I would relay
I think he's here.
An issue. Okay. It was a Larry Carlson. Mm-hmm. Who owns the adjoining property. He just had some questions as to the effect of the abandonment of this portion of the road would have on his property, though he is not an adjoining owner, and the road would end at his property line. Probably no effect, but he had been out of town just recently, saw the notice, and that was his question.
Okay.
I told him I would make the court aware of it.
All right, thank you.
Okay, in Precinct 3, consider and approve an order abandoning county road right-of-way known as Cardinal Oaks Lane. Is there anyone here to discuss that? Seeing none, in Precinct 4.
Consider and approve partial replat of lots 32, 33, 34, and 35, Reserve A of Glen Eagle, Section 3, to be known as Montgomery County Mud, Number 15, Water Plant, Number 2. Is anyone here to discuss that?
We'll now adjourn our public hearings and reconvene Commissioner's Court to take action on the above items.
Move on A1, 2, B1, and C1.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries. County Engineer.
Morning, Judge. Commissioners.
Mark.
Item 19A, consider and approve the creation of position 600-6902-1. Engineer 2 and fund at $79,722 per year plus $480 per cell phone. Position to be effective July 2nd and prorated amount needed for the remainder of this year is $25,168, which includes benefits. If you remember, and I've spoken to each one of you about this particular position, since I've been the county engineer since 1998, we've actually held pretty firm to not increasing our staff. We have not added any technical help to our office since then. We are we're at the end of that rope. We've got guys that are working all weekend. We just can't keep up with the growth. This came to light to me through some of my employees recently, and we've just got to get some help. The development community is suffering for it. We can't get things out. We're looking at problems in the field constantly, and hard to get those things taken care of in a timely fashion. So we really need some help.
I think we all knew this was coming.
Yep.
The increased work on Mark's staff is really, really telling on them. And if we wait till budget time, we're just going to be that much further behind. And I think now's the time to do it, and I make the motion.
I second.
Commissioners, I've always been one to kind of oppose positions in the middle of the year, but I think this one is one that's critical.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Contingency, the funding source.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
We thank you all very
much.
Thank you, Mark. Animal shelter. Yes, go ahead, Dr. Hay.
Morning, Judge.
Morning.
Commissioners. I have two agenda items. Agenda item A, I'd ask you to consider and approve the following changes with one clerical note. The fifth position, the opening position should end in 703, not 701. And that's just a change of employees we already have and putting them in the right positions as we restructure it over there.
This is changing titles?
Changing titles.
On 20A?
Yep. A, yes, sir.
Move.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
On item B, I'd ask you to consider and approve the creation of the following positions effective June 2nd, 2016, as written.
Move.
Second.
A motion and a second. Any questions or comments, Commissioners?
Dr. Vaughn, is it imperative that we open this position now and not wait till budget?
We need to fund, well, two things. We need a foster coordinator. That's the first part of it. We have 3,000 fosters, or not fosters, but volunteers on the books, but we don't have any direction for them. We need to have somebody that can put that together and utilize. We have amazing people that want to help. We just don't have a good way to do that. So that's the first one. The second one is the veterinarian. We need to make county veterinarians. Right now, we have a hard time attracting veterinarians based on the kind of abuse they take in the public eye because it's shelter and county funded. We have a great veterinarian that would like to fill it, but he needs to come here and he needs insurance, and we can't just do the same old thing that we've been doing before. So, but right now we don't have, we have one veterinarian on staff, and that can't do several hundred animals or 1,500 animals a month and do surgery and look at them and treat them.
That'll be funded out of the, not the 2016, but 2017 budget. That'll be funded out of contract vet with the exception of $10,000. Is that correct? That line item is going to move from one.
We're going to move it from that line item. We're going to ask for different things, but yeah, that's where the majority of it is going to come from.
We're still going to yield the same number of vets. This guy's just more or less.
He's going to be a county employee instead of just a contract vet.
Contracting with him right now?
Okay. Not yet.
We
are not contracting with him yet. So he's
contracting with somebody.
We're contracting with somebody, aren't we?
We can contract with Dr. Crabb right now. We're allowed to contract with as many as we want, but we really need to make county veterinarians so they can own their job. And
so you would shift that funding from contract veterinarians to an actual employee is really what you're
correct. Doing. Yes, sir.
Can you tell us a little bit about this vet?
You bet. There's only three vets in the state of Texas that have a certificate from University of Florida in shelter medicine. He's one of them. He's been, right now he's the director of, I think, East Texas SPCA. They're a veterinarian. They brought him on and told him they'd build a shelter. They didn't do that, so now he's looking to come here. He's a guy that can do 50 to 70 surgeries a day. Right now we're paying $500 for 25 surgeries. So if he did six surgeries.
Who are we paying the $500 to?
Veterinarians.
Contract.
Dr. Crabb?
Dr. Crabb right now.
What's going to happen to her?
She'll still be there. So we're going to ask for a funding source this year for the balance of the year.
We're going to continue paying her $500 a day?
So.
And then bring somebody else on?
How many veterinarians are we buying?
It takes three vets to run that shelter. so we don't have enough veterinary care. They will tell you they don't get foster, they can't bring these animals back and get them treated, they can't get surgeries on time. Right now, if you adopt an animal from our shelter, our county tells you, you can bring it back in 6 months and we can spay it, because that's how much...
We're that far behind.
So, and those animals are out getting pregnant, and we're making more animals.
Is Dr. Crabb the only vet that's there right now?
She is. Yep. So I'm a veterinarian, but I'm employed as a director, not a veterinarian. So I try to step in and help when I can, but you can't.
How often do you step in and help?
On Mondays, I try to do surgery on animals that are inside our shelter. I do try to stay away from the animals that are outside in foster care or adopted, because there's a lot of turmoil, and I don't need to go to the state board for that, for just hate. It's designed to have 2.5 to 3 veterinarians. Other shelters our size have a minimum of 3 veterinarians, and we should do that.
So what kind of funding are you going to need for this year to cover that?
Yes, sir. In item B, it says, at the end of it, for the volunteer coordinator, we need a balance of $20,169.96, and then for the veterinarian, $43,474.43.
Judge, for this year, for these two specific positions, you would need $6,200 for the first one and $43,000 for the second one. They're toward the bottom of those paragraphs. The shelter as a whole, though, will need to come back to you for funding for some other items at a later date. But for these two specific positions, he would like a funding source named today.
How much?
The total is close to $50,000, Commissioner. So if you look at the bottom of the first paragraph, $6,263.38. The second one is $43,474.43.
And the volunteer coordinator would be a county employee. Do you have somebody in mind there already?
We're going to open it up to public for them to apply.
Right. He just had the difference mixed up.
So, but for our 2017 budget, it's not going to have any effect? Is that what you're telling me?
It will have effect. We're going
to...
Some of it is built in there.
That's correct. And it is detailed in here, Commissioner. So for the first one, the effect on the 2017 budget is the $20,000 that Dr. Hayden mentioned earlier. The effect of the second one is the entire amount of the position. It's an entirely new position.
But that position will be from our professional service budget now.
Yep. So the net effect on next year's budget is total what? How much?
$20,000 for the first position. I haven't looked at the detail of if we would eliminate the contract vet services, so I can't speak on that.
We can't afford to eliminate contract.
The bottom line is, you know, we'd love to have the 2.5 contract vets, and just we've got an opportunity to get somebody here that's going to be a huge asset to the shelter for $10,000 difference. We've called, we've put ads out, we've tried to attract veterinarians, but with the turmoil and the everything that's going on, Dr. Crabb is it. We've got one guy that comes in one day a week or something, or is he not?
We have one vet that's a contract that comes in one day every other week. Next month she'll come in 2 days.
Veterinarians are not lined up at the shelter door.
Did I hear this right or hear this wrong? The director, this veterinarian, is going to be funded out of our contract services?
We're not going.
Next year.
We're going to eliminate
that. Dr. Crabb next year.
Well,
that's not our entire budget.
We've got 1.5 unfilled positions right now.
$1,000 in that contract line or something like that, isn't it, Phyllis?
Yeah. I'm looking, Commissioner.
We are going to ask to change it next year. I mean, there's no doubt. We've been doing it wrong for a long time. It's been underfunded.
And we're not going to leave the same amount of need for contract vets and get this guy.
We're going to
lessen that by one position. We're going
to put out. In my budget, we're going to ask to get rid of that professional service budget and make it all county employee veterinarians. That's my plan. So we'll do that at budget time.
Currently, professional services is funded at $162,000, but my understanding is that only a portion of that's going to be reduced, not all of it, because you still do need some of that line for some of the other professional services at the shelter. Is that correct?
Yes, ma'am. So we're going to ask to expand it during the budget cycle, for sure. So we have to.
Dr. Kratt, how many days does she work?
She's used to be working 5 days until when Dr. White quit, she said she would go. Well, once she quit altogether, and then she came back and said she would work 4 days as long as I was a director, and if we could make her a county employee, she would do it 5 days.
Okay. Any other questions? All right. We have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?
Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Could y'all include a funding source as part of that motion for the $6,000 and the $43,000 just for the remainder of this year?
Contingency. Contingency.
Thank you.
All right. Commissioners, Precinct 1.
Consider approve opening position 612-855-82, manager precinct operations, salary of $85,000 plus benefits, funded from 612-7340, effective 6/20/2016, will not affect the overall budget. I move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Precinct 3, consider and approve the interlocal cooperation agreement between the Woodlands Township and Montgomery County for mosquito surveillance and testing services.
Move.
We have a second.
Second.
Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Precinct 4,
consider and approve the creation of position number 615-8902-1, senior foreman, and fund $2,500 biweekly from 615-7340. This position will be effective July 2nd. I think that's actually the 10th, the 10th now. Needs to be remainder for the fiscal year 2016 is $14,471.35, which includes benefits. I move.
Second.
Like to
be funded out of your budget.
Yeah, I'm just explaining a little bit real quick. We took the constables out of their personal cars and got them in. We don't really have a maintenance deal. This guy's an ASC certified mechanic, and he's going to be doing the taking care of some of the stuff we've been sending out at the precinct, and he's also going to be servicing the constables' cars as well. So that's the need for this position.
Good.
Okay.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Human Resources.
Good morning. Please consider the changes in the travel and auto expense policy. What we've done is we've amended that to include a per diem per day for travel as opposed to people turning their receipts, and have clarified what the use of a procurement card is for the lodging and transportation.
Okay.
Move.
Second. Questions or comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries.
And B is consider and approve the payroll change request forms.
Move.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries.
Thank you, Jody.
Now I need to recess our commissioner's court for executive session under Article 551.071 for a brief executive session meeting. We'll be back for some other comments.
Back to order, please. We do have a correction on one of the agenda items. What was it, Commissioner 20C?
21C. Actually, I'd said something about the effective date was July 10th, and it's written as July 2nd. We need to remain as July 2nd as the effective date.
Okay, we have a motion.
Move.
Second. All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? There is none. Motion passed. I think we have some business from executive session.
Yes, Commissioner. We ask that you we ask for a resolution order to defend and incur associated costs in defense of claims relating to the USOR site PRP group versus Montgomery County, Texas, under the cause number listed in the agenda.
I move.
Second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. Do we have any citizens that would like to address the court this morning?
Well, should I wait for the judge to show back up or just say...
Judge had to leave.
So. Oh, okay. Well, go good ahead. Deal. Well, then here
we go.
You
have 3 minutes?
3 whole minutes. Well,
whole
thank
minutes.
You, commissioners. I appreciate it.
Mr. Metter, my name is Jill Savory. I'm in your district. I came to you a couple weeks ago asking for the county to grant a homestead exemption. It came, I'm a new resident to Montgomery County, moved here about a year ago. I love it. But when I went to go fight my property appraisal value at the appraisal district, they said I had to go to each and every single one of the other boards to argue with the rates that were granted, that they just assess home value. So I said, okay, I'll go to each and every one of the boards. So one of the interesting things that I found out, and Mr. Metter, you had called to verify, is that Montgomery County does not offer a homestead exemption. The other thing that I found out was that y'all actually have to approve said home exemption for it to take effect by July 1st. So as an example, I looked at Harris County. They have to come in and approve it. I guess they, on their, and I'll provide a copy to you of their minutes, but on May 24th, it was under the tax assessor collector portion of the commissioner's court, where they request approval for orders for exemption from an ad valorem taxation for the tax year 2016 for the county, which include Flood Control District and Harris County Hospital District, doing business as Harris Health Systems. They have an appraised value of resident homesteads of $5,000 or 20% of the appraised value, whichever is greater, of an adult's resident homestead. $160,000 of the appraised value of a resident's homestead of an individual who is disabled, or $160,000 of the appraised value of a resident's homestead of an individual who is 65 or older. As an example, each county has their own choice as to how much to grant, but I would like it if you would consider granting a homestead exemption in Montgomery County, and I would be happy to come sit and down with y'all and have a conversation about it at any time.
Thank you for your comments.
Thank you.
We have one other person that signed up.
Mr. Yollett.
Yeah. Hi, Eric.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Eric Yollick. I live in Precinct 3. About 18 years ago, there was an organization and its president who made the comment that the Montgomery County Commissioner's Court was spending too much money and allowing the tax burden to go up too much. And there was some news media reaction to that comment by that organization and by that person, and Texas Monthly turned around and they actually gave the Bum Steer Award, or one of them that year, to that person and that organization, with the point that how could Montgomery County Commissioner's Court be spending too much money when we have five Republicans on the court? Well, in the last 10 years, gentlemen, Montgomery County has grown in population by 56%. The tax burden of our county has grown by 224%. Now, I want to be real clear about something. I'm not criticizing anyone on this court. I think that y'all have done a lot to vindicate our interests. Y'all have done a really good job operating our county and managing business for us. But at the same time, the taxpayers are bearing a very heavy burden. And the truth is that you can really take the opportunity to be heroes, not only to the people of this county, but quite frankly, to people all across the nation, in the face of growth, in the face of the massive explosion of your responsibilities. I believe that you still could reduce the budget by a mere 1% and make a huge statement. Now, let me make something clear. It's very obvious. We need more law enforcement in this county. The Sheriff's Department probably needs a raise of about 10% in its budget, and I'm all for that. But even if you did that, you could still reduce the budget overall by 1% without really making any cuts in services. And I want to make a commitment to you. I will do everything that I can to help you get to those numbers. And I think that you ought to have citizen support and maybe even a formal citizen organization to help lobby the federal government to get some of our federal tax dollars back to help this county with all the emergency expenditures that we're having to make because of these federal emergencies that we've had. But gentlemen, I hope that you will take the heroic route and really look at a serious way to reduce the budget by a mere 1% and make an important county and even national statement. Thanks.
Thank you, Eric.
Thank you, Eric. Is there anyone else that would like to address the court this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. Good morning. I'd hoped the judge would be here because I have some things that I'd like to say.
Could you please state your name, please?
My name is Janie Baylor. And for the sake of time limits and the fact that I'm old and sometimes forget, I'm going to read the notes that I've made. I live in South County. I'm an animal lover, and I'm also a taxpayer and a voter. I'm here to ask for accountability and transparency in the operation of the Montgomery County Animal Shelter. And I'm here to follow up on a conversation, Mr. Clark, that you and I began on Saturday, April the 30th, at the animal shelter. It was a $10 adoption day. And since I've been staying at home, as you put it that day, I've become aware of the Montgomery County Animal Shelter Volunteer Group. And perhaps unlike you, Mr. Clark, I find the group has sound justification for activism on behalf of the homeless and sick animals of the county and the volunteers who give their time, their passion, their love, and their money to try to help these animals. Mr. Clark, I came here today to ask you why you never called me back as you told me you would. Why you said Dr. Hayden and I would like to meet with you about these issues and see what your suggestions are. You took my name and my telephone number and said, we may have a place for you. Of course, I recognized it for what it was. Political rhetoric, innocuous statements made to prevent me from mixing with the overflow crowd there that day and possibly making negative statements about the chaos that I witnessed. I brought to your attention at that time how the cages containing small 6 to 8 week old kittens were unlocked and accessible to the children in the lobby, and the lobby was full. People adopting animals for $10, which I personally have a problem with. But the cages were unlocked and accessible to the small children. The lady who was with me witnessed a 4 or 5 year old girl reaching into a cage and dragging a kitten out, helped by her mother at the time. Once she got it out of the cage, she promptly dropped it, and the cat ran off frantically. It was scared to death. It ran headlong into a glass door, knocked itself senseless, and some volunteer came along and picked it up, and I saw the cat 10 minutes later. Its eyes were still unfocused, and it was disoriented.
Ma'am, your 3 minutes are up. Thank you for your comments today.
Oh, I wish I had 6 minutes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Anybody else to address the court this morning? Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. My name is Jimmy Brown. Almost 20 years ago, I purchased 78 White Willow Circle of Clear Creek Subdivision, Panther Creek, the Woodlands. It was informed to me it was not in a flood zone. I did not need flood insurance. 10 years ago, I went on a campaign seeing that the ditches and culverts were not maintained, warning that we could flood the area. I talked to everyone I could talk to, everyone I was referred to. Nothing was done. 8 years ago, after the storm and many houses were flooded, I once again, began making calls and asking for engineers' reports and asking for them to do something. Her houses had depreciated from the stigma of being a flood home depreciated, but yet the taxes continued to go up and the maintenance wasn't done. FEMA in another area that I own said three times, after that you must go to the municipalities and ask them to make up and pay for your homes and pay for what was not covered by the flood insurance. I'm asking that maintenance be done. Even if we get a tax abatement for 10 or 20 years, that cannot cover the damages that have happened. In May, the houses flooded three times again. Twice in May. We live in fear that it might happen again. I'm tired of seeing ServPro and other water abatement companies out in front of people's homes, and I have pity for them. I'm asking that it be maintained and it not be ignored any longer. Something must be done. This is a huge problem.
Have you talked to your commissioner about this?
I made a phone call yesterday. That's why I'm here today, because he wasn't in the office.
Okay. I would recommend you do that.
And I when I called and spoke to a gentleman that said he was a projects manager, that neighborhood was not on the list of neighborhoods that were going to be addressed. I asked that it be included. He said he hadn't received calls. I know that the neighbors called.
Okay.
They all talked to me. We all are talking. We're all trying to get together now, because it has reached a serious critical point.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else this morning?
Hi. My name is Katie Henderson. I'm here to talk about the animal shelter. I'm going to quote just quickly Nathan Winograd, who's a shelter advocate across the country. He says, as a volunteer, you are the eyes and conscience of the community. Complaining about inhumane conditions, abuses, or violations of law at shelters is a constitutionally protected right. As a volunteer and a member of the animal welfare community, I'm kind of offended that we were just referred to as the turmoil that's going on. It's not turmoil. We're just looking for the shelter to do what's right. Some of the issues we've seen are kennels being hosed out with dogs inside them. That's been a complaint witnessed multiple times. It's not humane. It's not hygienic. It seems like complaints are up, community involvement's down. As Dr. Hayden said, yeah, the sick clinic hours are inadequate, and there is a need for more vet care. I'm thrilled that we have this new vet coming on. That sounds great. But we've got some more things in-house that really need to be taken care of. The lines are long. They're slow. The phones don't get answered. People can't use a credit or debit card. And we really just want to see things done right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I'm Sheila Cox, and I'm addressing the Montgomery County Animal Shelter as well. Gail Michaels and I have been active volunteers and fosters at MCAS for more than 8 years. I personally have fostered over 150 dogs, mostly puppies. Since Mr. Clark gave the directorship of MCAS to Dr. Hayden, and since they had fired so many of the knowledgeable and experienced staff, the running of the shelter has been left lacking. Support for fosters and adopters is hard to get. Communications is poor. A recent adopter spent 3 hours at the shelter just to process his adoption of a dog and cat. Now they've contacted me to say that the cat can't be neutered until October, and he needs to be fixed now. Other of my adopters had surgery dates so far out that they've had to go to off-site vets. My adopters have informed me that phone calls aren't answered, messages and emails are not returned. There are always long lines in the lobby. Gail and I are now banned from going to the back of the shelter, so we can't escort people to find lost pets. We can't help with the puppies. We have effectively been shuffled out of a job. So I, too, am very disappointed when you talk about us as haters and dissenters, because we have done so much for the shelter over the years, and even recently provided and purchased equipment for Dr. Crabb so that she could get her work done. And yet this is how we're referred to. It's hardly a wonder that we don't feel like we are welcome there as fosters and volunteers. I'm not surprised that things are not getting better. After all, what can we expect without any input or consideration for those who are already doing a fantastic job? Mr. Clark installed someone who doesn't communicate, is often not on site, and has two other businesses to run, all for a tidy salary of $140,000. Mr. Clark then allowed him to fire experienced staff who had things running like a finely tuned machine. Then he hired out the community cat program for $165,000 that we were already doing for free. I guess we don't need to be surprised. It's just how we do business.
Thank you for your comment. Have anybody else this morning?
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Carrie Heidi. I'm here to speak about the animal shelter as well. My question is in the interest of transparency and accountability, and I would like to know what happens to the money that is donated to the shelter through the window. I understand that Operation Pets Alive has a donation box outside of the window, but I'm told that some people make donations as they're adopting, rounding up their adoption fee. I'd like to know how much money that is, where it's tracked, and what it's being spent on. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good morning, gentlemen. My name is Shannon Hill. I live in Commissioner Metter's district. I, too, am here to talk about the shelter. I am personally offended on behalf of myself, all of these ladies, and the several hundred volunteers who were just called the turmoil. We work more hours than anyone can imagine on behalf of these animals. Some of us are very visible at the shelter. Some of us do our work away from the shelter. None of us get paid. None of us get compensation. We spend our money. And we pay taxes. And we vote. And then we get called the problem because we are reporting problems we see. I just uploaded 400 screenshots last night of complaints from the public, filthy kennels, badly done surgeries, some of which the pictures would make you sick. But we're the problem? Gentlemen, we just want the problem fixed. We want the animals kept in humane conditions. We want them fed properly. There's no excuse for any animal losing half their body weight in the shelter. We want them vetted properly. We want them dewormed and vaccinated on intake. All of those things that we have discussed time and time again with Commissioner Clark. We'd also like some communication. For example, you said this morning that the position has been advertised for the veterinarian position, that you've advertised them. We've asked you repeatedly, where has it been advertised? We can't find it. We've looked. The only place I have ever found a single mention of a veterinarian position being advertised has been a single line on Dr. Hayden's wife's Facebook page where she said, hey, if anybody knows a vet that wants to work at the shelter, let us know. That's the extent of the advertising we can find. So we're asking for transparency. We're asking for common courtesy. And we're tired of being insulted. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Anybody else this morning? That's all the citizen comments. Do we have any miscellaneous business to discuss? If not, I'd entertain a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor? Aye. We stand adjourned.